Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, it's Healthy Gut Girl, Kitty Martone, and I'm coming to you live from deep inside your large intestine, and this is stuff your doctor should know. And, you know, we all hear that beauty is more than skin deep, that it comes from within. And, you know, it's easy to say that and it sounds very cliche, but it is so profoundly true. And I have been faced with this more than ever. I was really, really fortunate young woman, to not have skin issues. I had like the opposite kind of problems with more like dry skin, but I didn't have acne. I didn't have any kind of issues until I started to get closer into perimenopause, and then I had melasma, and that was about the extent of it. But then, as many of you know, I started to get this eczema issue, and I went to a dermatologist who really helped me in the immediate, right? It helped she gave me three different creams I had to mix together. They were super expensive, and it helped. She said it'll be completely cured. She literally used the word cured in like 10 days. And it definitely was almost gone within 10 days. And the itching was certainly gone, but it came back and then it went away and then it came back and then it went away. And then I ran out of the cream and I started to kind of have to like really face myself in the mirror and say, let's be honest here. This has nothing to do with a topical issue. You know, this is from the gut. You know, this is going on because of something you're not doing right. Right. And that's a tough pill to swallow when you are healthy gut girl, right? It's like, how much work do I have to do? But this just goes to show you that, you know, gut health and hormones and all the things are not static. Like once you don't arrive and get your gold medal in gut health, right? That's not how it works. You know, you're alive, you're a living human organism that is going to have shifting hormones and shifting exposures and different types of, you know, man-made bioweapons that we're exposed to and all kinds of things. So we can only do as much as we know how to do. And I am also going through, you know, perimenopause and into menopause. And that is also going to make a lot of changes in my body. And so I see this going on in my group as well. I see clients having issues with skin. And we've never had a skin person on the show. And I'm excited about this woman because I keep hearing about her from everybody and her products are shared in my group. And she's been around in this business for a really, really long time. Her name is Emma Skourakis. I think I said that right. Skourakis. And she is out of Melbourne, Australia. She's fully qualified in clinical nutrition and has been in practice since 2004, privately as well as in various clinics and health retreats around Australia. She works in association with pioneering US-based practitioners and scientists and at the forefront of nutrition, researching the relationship between food, hormones, thyroid, aging, and cellular metabolism. She is in, I would say, the repeat circle. So she's all about a pro-metabolic lifestyle. And the really awesome thing is besides, you know, her commitment to nutrition and coaching people, helping people with their health and any kind of issue you might be having, she's really sunk her teeth. Her and Kitty Bloomfield, who's also someone you should follow on Instagram, they've really sunk their teeth into this skincare line. Not a lot of companies can genuinely say that their products are healthy for you. They can say that they're organic and that they're all natural and that they maybe can even say that they have, you know, that they're plant-based, or they could say whatever they want. But there aren't a lot of companies that care about not having PUFA, polyunsaturated fat, in their products. And so I waited to launch this because I wanted to try their product line, which is called Saturé. Beautiful. And I will tell you all about it after the show. In the meantime, enjoy Emma. She's lovely.
I want to chat with you about all things skin and about your history with Ray Pete. Let's start there if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think 2011, I came across his work. It was a life-changing moment, literally. So I'd been already consulting for probably, 8 years or so in the industry, nutrition. I've covered many bases, but I was studying Chinese medicine, nutrition, Pilates. I was coming at health from every angle and always fascinated. I think since I was nine, I was reading books about nutrition and found it fascinating. And I just, I've been through every experiment. I'm not sure about you, but you know, tried that with everything and learned the hard way is the only way, I guess.
Yeah.
But I had not long before that come back from a stint in New York working with, you know, interesting people in the world of cleansing, and it was more to do with raw food and very vegetable centric. And physically, I was not thriving from it. And I always felt I had to be my own guinea pig. You know, who was I to take someone's money and give them advice on health if it didn't work for me either? So I was always 100% into everything I was, you know, preaching about at the time. So I went over there and did further study, if you call it, on those sort of topics. And I was just, I'm already a very small frame, and I was not thriving at all, and very quickly pulled the pin on those ideas. But at the time, I don't know, I was coming to certain conclusions myself and just realizing, hang on a second, if we put vegetables and leafy greens and things like that up there at that top of that, you know, the be all and end all of what is health food, and that was the majority of what I was eating, why was my body not thriving? Why were my intestines slowing down? Why was my, you know, I was losing muscle, all of that, not feeling great, very cold. You know, who decided how fantastic these particular foods are? And when I was breaking that down and realizing, well, you know, they're loaded with anti-nutrients. They're resisting digestion to humans. And even if you are able to obtain the nutrients from within that cellulotic cell wall, which is kind of like concrete to a human gut when we don't produce cellulase either, even the nutrients held within them, it's not necessarily bioavailable nutrients. We still have to convert many nutrients to the forms we need. And it was just everything was sort of turning on itself, and I realized, what are we doing here? And what, you know, how did I get to that conclusion? And so very much questioning all the paradigms and all the things that are touted as being, you know, such healthy, perfect foods. And I Googled the question, who defined what health food is, or who defined that vegetables were healthy? And you probably read Ray's article. It's one of his very early ones on his website, right down the bottom. It's called Vegetables, Who Defines Food? And I start reading this article, and I can still, and I talk about it all the time, but I can still see the fireworks going off in my head as I was reading that article. And in that moment, everything started making sense, and nothing had up until then, you know. Even the lecturers at university, you give them the answers they want only because you know what, you know, they want to get for your grades and for your, your alphabet soup on your name at the end of the day.
Right.
But, you know, I never really saw, even working with clients, I was pushing that sort of more, I suppose, naturopathic approach and the typical health food dogma. And, yeah, people would feel good about it because it fit within the paradigm of what they perceive as being healthy, so they think you're a good practitioner for making those recommendations. But I'd rarely get anyone come back to me saying, "Wow, I feel so much better. What else can we do?"
Yeah,
and from that moment onward, I started playing to myself. I started feeling amazing. I started integrating things with my clients directly, and that's when I saw shifts in women that I'd never seen before, and males. Mostly the males I'd work with were more sort of professional athletes, but 95% of my clientele being women. The hormonal issues, they hadn't been able to get pregnant, they'd done multiple rounds of IVF, and even that didn't cut it. And finally, we just had them eating right and eating actual digestible food. And there was a very, remarkable shift in everyone. So, So Ray helped me see the light. And It had to be then, though. The timing had to be right. I think if I'd perhaps read his work 20 years previously, when I felt quite righteous in, you know, I know all there is to know, mm-hmm. perhaps I might have dissed it. But in that moment, when I was already coming to certain conclusions, it was just
perfect.
Yeah, everything slotted in. So from there on, I was digging around going, how can I learn as much as I can in a hurry, because I need to get this out there. And I was digging around for other sort of practitioners and researchers who were more knowledgeable in his work than I was, and quickly came across Danny Roddy, or read one of his articles at the time. I think he was writing articles. Mm-hmm. And we quickly became good friends, and he was, yeah, it was lovely, because at the time we both felt like we were sort of, you know, preaching something very different to the mainstream narrative. And we, you know, kept each other sane and bounced off ideas, which was wonderful.
Yeah.
Rob Turner was instrumental, and he, you know, Rob Turner from Functional Performance Systems.
No, I don't think that's one name I don't think I've heard.
Yeah, you'll have to track him down. He'll okay. He'll be reluctant to get on podcasts, a bit like myself, but he's he's a wealth of knowledge and a gentleman. And he connected me to Dodie Anderson, who mm-hmm. has worked very closely and personally with Ray for a very long time. She's, I think, 80 herself now. She's divine. And so, yeah, very regularly for the last, 12 years now, Dodie and I will just have long chats. We work on sort of client handouts together and put together recipes and, yeah, so, and she will be on a telephone call to Ray every week throughout those years. So we'd, you know, she'd give me direct access to what he was just playing with at the time, which was wonderful.
Wow.
And connected me directly. Yeah. So, yeah. And yeah. And then it just sort of grew from there. But yeah, it really helped when you're looking at a topic that was so completely polar opposite to what we're being told is healthy,
right?
And then to find others who get it as well, and to share that was, it made such a big difference.
You know, it's so I'm kind of where you were when you said you felt like you had to hurry up and learn as much as possible so that you can share the information and start to pivot on what you were dishing out, right? And because I've been kind of in the gut health world for many years, and I've been working with Donna Gates, who wrote The Body Ecology Diet. And, you know, that is like vegetable heavy. It's like she would say 80-20, 80% of your diet should be, you know, alkaline vegetables, and 20% can be meat. And I mean, we're dealing with, and I love Donna. She helped me start my career off. I learned a tremendous amount. I saw her help thousands of people. So this is not a diss on her work or anything like that. But I was looking at my own body saying, you know, like you said, like, I don't think I'm digest. Am I supposed to see these greens in my colonic? Like, am I supposed to be not digesting my food? And so the fermentation that she really encourages is a big part of her work. And that was great, because it's fermenting. So it's pre-digesting those vegetables for you. So I did really well with fermented vegetables, like fermented, you know, kale, carrots, everything fermented. I was fine with it. But now we're seeing this growing, and this is slightly off topic, but we see this growing issue with SIBO and histamine issues. And so when I started, I mean, most of my clients could do fermented vegetables. Now, it's like 50% of people can do them and 50% can't. So something has really shifted with gut health. And I think it has to do with all the probiotics becoming such a, you know, everyone, the probiotic craze, I think, is what had maybe shifted what was going on in people's guts and causing more SIBO and whatnot. But anyway, steering back onto track there. So I now, you know, in my group, I've been talking for 8 years in my group about fermented foods and avoiding dairy and, you know, just all of that, and vegetable heavy diet, but not plant-based per se. Definitely have always encouraged high quality grass-fed meats and things and bone broths and all this stuff. But now I'm starting to say, hey, dairy, and the backlash, the resistance, like,
oh, interesting.
I mean, it is really, I don't know what the word is, maybe heated is probably the kindest word, but people get really angry when,
oh my
when
God.
That, yeah, because they talk about the hormones in the milk and the hormones in the meat and what are you doing? Why did you shift like this? This is, and so I'm getting, and I wrote 3 books that are vegetable heavy. I mean, they're also meat heavy, but you know, that encouraging, you know, some plant-based foods. So it's and grains, you know, quinoa and amaranth and millet and things like that. And so it's been humbling to say the least, because to turn around and now read so much, like you were saying, you know, learning as much as I can quickly and interviewing all you, these wonderful resources that I have now. And having to humble myself and say, hey, guess what? I think I was wrong about these grains. I think it's part of the reason that you're having such difficult time still. And that's been hard.
Well, good on you for your honesty, though. This is the thing. Like, we all live and learn, I suppose. And sort of I had to pivot many times, or dare I say in the last 12, I haven't, because everything I seem to be doing with people seems to work.
Nice.
But when you can just be real, and I think, look, there'll be people who get angry because they take their point of view around food as, it's almost like a religious standing, like it's really,
sure,
they get emotional, they get aggressive about you perhaps shaking the foundations of their belief system, like it's crazy, but yeah, there will also be other people who respect you for that. And it's interesting when I reflect on people I got to know maybe about 20 years ago, and you know, working through sort of macrobiotic communities and like I said, you know, just very for a short time dabbling in that sort of raw food, the juicing, the cleansing, all of that. And I met some gurus in those realms, if you want to call them that, you know, names I won't mention, but names everyone knows. I met them personally, and I'd have long-winded chit-chats to them, where one fellow in particular acknowledging to me, he goes, you know what, we just can't thrive without butter and eggs at the very least. You know, this vegan thing's not working for so many people. And he tells me about how he binges on these things. And then I would the next day be invited to their lecture in front of all his disciples. And all he would talk about is being 100% vegan and wouldn't, you know, admit his new knowledge, because all of his books were based on that. And it would affect book sales, and you could just see it. And it was just really disappointing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think when people can really make these shifts and, you know, live and learn and grow and do that outwardly and help their followers, then
yeah,
it's absolutely admirable.
I think I've just tried to take the position of more of a journalist as I've gotten older, rather than, oh, I'm this, and this is the, you know, this is my, I'm preaching from my pulpit and this is the word, you know, because of that reason, like just being humbled by the fact that, oh, okay, not everybody can do fermented foods. All right, got it. Okay, probiotics aren't a good idea for you if you've got, and that's the irony about vegetables is, yes, you can get, you can acquire vitamin A retinol from a sweet potato if you have decent digestion. So now you've got
liver function.
Yeah, right. And so how
to make that conversion. Yeah.
And that's pretty funny if you think about it, that that's like a between a rock and a hard place for someone who's who's got dysbiosis, who's gut dysbiosis, who's trying to heal their gut. And so they're eating a plant-based diet so that they can heal their gut. And they're not able to acquire that because of their liver stagnation and their, you know, their.
Absolutely. I mean, when you put, you know, if we put it truthfully, the sweet potato does not contain vitamin A, it contains beta carotene. And as long as we have the ability to make that conversion of beta carotene to retinol, it's useless. And it's quite an unsaturated molecule. It can cause damage. And then the irony is that you need a healthy, robust liver function to make that conversion. But if you're not eating complete animal protein, it's unlikely you'll get enough protein to support liver function. And the liver also requires, you know, plenty of sugars to as stored glycogen to fuel liver function. So it's this
sugar.
Kind of,
how dare you say the S word?
I know. Oh dear. Exactly. It's just, and then they're stuck, you know. Yeah. It's a vicious cycle, really.
Yeah. Well, I'm there and I'm, you know, shifting and I'm loving all these guests, from Danny Roddy to Kate and you. This is super exciting.
Oh, Kate, of course. Yeah.
Yes. And girl. Everybody's really loving, not everybody, as I mentioned, but I think most everyone, you know, because they're in the same place that I am, where they're like, wait a minute, why is my thyroid still offline here? What is going on? Mm. You know? And so, and now that I'm heading into menopause, it's even more of like, all right, I need to get on top of these things because my metabolic processes are slowing down and it's hard to do it when it's, you know, when you're too far down the line is what I'm starting to feel like and notice with other people who are, you know, who have been in menopause for a year or 2 years to try to get that thyroid back up and running properly. All of those things, it seems like it's easier when you're younger. Am I wrong about that?
Oh, look, I think the earlier someone can make the shifts, the better, definitely. Mm-hmm. But it's, look, you're better off getting into it now than in 5 years time making shifts and you've already postmenopausal, it'll be far trickier and you've got great access to quality progesterone by the sounds of it. So that's going to be major help to you. But look, timing's always got to be right. I think you've just got to focus on each day and what you can do. Absolutely. It'll just be to your benefit long term. And the longer you can push out menopause, the better.
Yes. So that, people get frustrated when they say, I started progesterone and now I'm having my period again. What is going on? I'm like, congratulations. Like, no, I hate my period. It's the worst thing ever. I'm like, well, I understand that because I certainly had really bad periods and said, look, the sign of longevity. And I know Dr. Pete has said this is, you know, if you can have your period longer into life, you will live longer, barring you don't, you know, get hit by a bus or something, but you know, it certainly is a sign of longevity when you can have a healthy bleed, not just like some clotty nightmare that, you know, so many women deal with, but a healthy period.
Absolutely. Yeah. You want to be menstruating long-term and you also want to menstruate asymptomatically. It should feel ideally, you know, it should be that lead up to menstruation shouldn't feel like an uphill battle. It should just be that one day you notice that you're bleeding and you go, oh, didn't notice that coming. Oh, well, that's the ideal way to see it. But unfortunately I'd sort of put out there that, oh, well, you're female and it's part and part of being female is to have this monthly illness, really, right. Take the painkiller and suck it up. Like, really? That's the best we can do.
Yeah. Well, that brings me to some skin issues that plague a lot of women around that time. And even now, just any time. And I was listening to your podcast with Kitty and Georgie and the whole concept behind acne after, I think he said 30 years old is more of a sign of kind of like metabolic illness than it is about, you know, puberty hormones and trying to come into balance as, you know, you're younger. Can you speak on that a little?
Yeah, look, it's acne. The more I delve into it, more multifaceted it becomes. So I don't think there's one, you know, direct way of looking at it, but obviously with each client looking at their symptoms and their history and their gut and the rest of it. But look, absolutely. Whether it stems from stress, could be chronic hypothyroidism, even just inadequate protein. But basically when there's insufficient stomach acid, that sets you up perfectly for SIBO or small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. The endotoxin that presents from that, further liver burden, increased cortisol, elevated estrogen. We've actually, if you go to my website, I'm a very visual person, but there's a flow chart there I put together. People might refer to and perhaps might be helpful, but work done with Georgie Dinkov, just looking at all the ways and the possible reasons for a person's acne. But definitely when it's past a certain age, whether it is chronic bacterial overgrowth, which is extremely common, estrogen dominance, which is more common than not now, elevating the DHEA, which converts to DHT, increasing skin inflammation, sebum production becomes a bit out of control and bacteria feed off it nicely. But it could also just be general deficiencies, which again is, you know, most people are terribly deficient in preformed vitamin A. You know, it's the foods that have gone out of favor, you know, dairy, as you found too, organ meats, you know, particularly liver, though for a long time they weren't seen as clean food or green food. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, you can safely assume that so many women who eat a standard diet or think they're eating a healthy diet, but it's made up of salads and muesli and, you know, not much animal food, you know, not much eggs, butter, those sort of things, then of course retinol will be down.
Mm-hmm.
And that will definitely, you know, bring you into a position where you could, yeah, potentially experience acne at a later age too. So it's, yeah, very multifaceted, but definitely as I try to tell people or women, even women in their 30s and 40s who are still experiencing acne and they're just so annoyed by it and they get frustrated and they, of course, jump to the conclusion and purchase all sorts of topicals to try and treat it from the outside or all sorts of pretty horrific skin treatments, as opposed to seeing it the other way around and realizing it's just literally an outward symptom of something going on at a much deeper level. Mm-hmm. And it's not actually your skin's fault. Like your skin is probably functioning perfectly considering it, the situation,
mm-hmm.
but it's very deeply rooted, whether it's all the way down to the gut, the hormones, liver function. And in a roundabout way to try and see it as maybe a little bit of a gift that your body is speaking to you directly and it's warning you there's deep-rooted issues going on here we need to address that could lead to something more nefarious that we, mm-hmm. you know, can deal with. And if we just constantly try and throw acids at the skin or something, I mean, gosh, that's got to lead to other issues and perhaps premature aging. So addressing them deeply, and it doesn't have to be complicated, and it often means simplifying the diet, not adding more complexity or necessarily more supplements or anything, but bringing it back to a very simple diet. And of course, acknowledging all the other factors, you know, stress being the biggie, and it's probably harder to correct than dietary changes, whatever that means for you, as well as, you know, more sunlight, more sleep, all those sort of things.
Yeah. Some women are more prone to it, obviously, just body type and whatnot. I've never really had an acne issue. But I mean, I would get them, but it wasn't a thing for me. But I know some women, like, you know, to the clock will just get like jawline acne or even like histamine issues on the jawline. Do we even know why the jawline seems to be a like a hormonal location?
That's right. I remember, I remember learning things like that. You look at face mapping, as it's called, and certain sections pertaining to different things. And I don't take too much notice of that these days, but is jawline more pertaining to, is it intestines or is that hormones? I've seen different people note it differently, but
if it's
cyclic with, you know, with the cycle, then definitely there's a correlation with hormones. But I've seen women who very quickly correct that, whether it be, you know, doing the disinfectant antimicrobial sort of fibers, whether it be the carrot salad and bamboo and cooked mushrooms and things like that, then help sweep through the intestine and clear it out and make a more sterile environment in the intestine.
Mm-hmm.
That can make a very big deal, as well as perhaps doing supplemental natural progesterone for a while during the luteal phase to try and encourage that progesterone surge at that second half of the cycle can make a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the red light and just, you know, getting to bed earlier, but a combination of all those things that can be dealt with quite easily in some cases. Yeah. But if it goes back even deeper and it's sort of, you know, long-term hypothyroidism, which, you know, a lot of babies are born with hypothyroid these days. You know, if your mum's hypothyroid and she was estrogen dominant when she gave birth to you, it's, you know, the cards you're dealt, I suppose. But, perhaps more work to support thyroid and, you know, looking at body temperature and seeing how that's improving as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, the carrot salad, I feel like, is the most underestimated, food in the whole, I hate saying, because it's not a diet, but let's call it the pro-metabolic, you know, foods. And I was going through this anemic phase, they say, quote, anemic, unquote, And I was addicted to carrots, and but I wouldn't make the salad, and I would just eat carrots. I couldn't get out of the grocery store fast enough without opening the bag and having a carrot. It was the craziest addiction. My hands were turning orange. It was nuts. And I realized, and I was seeing Morley Robbins at the time as my mentor and practitioner, and he was saying your body is desperately trying to convert that, you know, beta carotene into vitamin A retinols to make ceruloplasmin so that you can have bioavailable copper, so that you know, he goes down this whole road of what needed to happen. And I was like, yeah, but I can't help it, you know. And so what I didn't know about at that time was the carrot salad. And if I had just been shaving the carrots and putting the coconut oil and the apple cider vinegar, and if I had just been doing that, it would have been, I mean, God knows what it would have done. It probably would have kept me from ultimately having to have a blood transfusion is what ended up happening.
Ooh, and, oh, interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, not because of the carrots, of course. I was just terribly mineral dysregulated and had very hypothyroid. And now I know exactly what my profile was at the time, what was going on with my body. Mm. But when I was in it, I'm like, how many years of gut health work can I do? But here I was eating, like, juicing, you know, doing the whole, like, body ecology diet, grains and all of that. I was gluten-free. I was sugar-free. I was dairy-free. And
was it fun?
It was miserable.
It was miserable, isn't it? Oh, I know. Even with the carrot salad, if you notice the calluses going a bit orange, and you know, the palms of your hands, you notice skin having that orange tint. First and foremost, you know, once you've grated the carrot, rinse it out, squeeze out that excess juice, get the extra beta carotene out, because ultimately it's actually just the unique fibers you wanted to get from that carrot. And it's not, you're not eating carrot salad as a nutritional boost of sorts. It's actually just a physical broom. And the unique thing about the carrot fiber, the cooked mushroom fiber, bamboo, is they're non-fermentable. So they don't feed bacterial colonies further, and they just go through and literally help to dislodge them and help to, clear waste through the intestine and not leave stuff behind and not add to bacterial overgrowth. So to get one or a couple of those a day, ideally in between meals on an empty stomach when it can really sweep through nicely. Mm-hmm. Yes, super helpful. And like you said, it's so undervalued, and it's something that most people have a couple of carrots in the back of their fridge. It's a pretty cheap therapeutic. It's just a matter of, really acknowledging its importance and then committing to it on a daily basis. Whereas some people, you know, do it for 3 or 4 days and go, I don't know, I don't feel much better. It's like, no, you really have to stick to it long term. But what it can do hormonally to help correct estrogen, you know, dominance is pretty phenomenal. And what it can do, you know, as a antibacterial, it's pretty easy for everyone to get onto.
Yeah, it's powerful. It really is.
Mm.
Hello, quick interruption to tell you about the in-home dried urine Dutch Complete hormone test. It's not enough to just know your levels, high or low, but for example, what are you doing with your estrogen? Is it being pushed down unhealthy, potentially dangerous pathways that could lead to breast or prostate cancer, fibroids, or insulin resistance? Or are you converting your testosterone into estrogen and having hair loss and low libido? Or are your adrenals burnt out and at the root of all your hormonal struggles? No point in guessing. I love this test. I take it once a year, and it keeps me on track with my goal of aging gracefully. Use your coupon ED25, as in estrogen dominance 25, and get $25 off your test interpretation and 6-week program of supplement, detox, and dietary recommendations. I have 5 years of experience reading and interpreting this test and was trained by the makers, Precision Analytical. Coupled with my gut health expertise, and this program is about as comprehensive as you're going to get. Check it out in the show notes for more details.
So, okay, I want to talk about this as a really big, big topic in the group, which is melasma.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a lot. And I had a really intense bout with it. And when I started progesterone 8 years ago, I was doing this the progesterone therapy website, which was based on Dr. Dalton's work. And yes, basically just, you know, using therapeutic doses of progesterone to overcome really severe PMDD, you name it. And I was raising my dose every time a symptom would arise, and I would continue from there until I was symptom free. And I was having, clearly now I know I was having issues with absorption, and probably because of a hypothyroid and many other things probably that you could probably point out. And, but ultimately the melasma on my face, which was very, very faint on my forehead, got much worse when I started the progesterone. And I found out reading through all this stuff was that if you're underdosing, you can stimulate the estrogen receptors or antagonize or whatever mm-hmm. it is, it creates this estrogen sort of kickback, which can worsen symptoms. Well, I just trusted that the information was correct, and I kept going up in dose and using it directly on the melasma. And within 10 days, it had not only gone back to what it was, but within another week or so, it was completely gone. And yeah, so I was so excited. So, but then now I'm learning that there is an estrogen PUFA iron component to melasma. Can you tell us about melasma?
Yeah, definitely. So just sort of point out the differences, and some people sort of cross it over, but melasma being more the discoloration or the hyperpigmentation that's more like you would have found on the face. I think some women sort of the shoulders, upper arms, but as opposed to sort of age spots on lipofuscin, which is usually more back of the hands, and that's, we can talk about that too, but definitely that connection with overload of PUFA interacting with iron in the tissue. And it often correlates with women having high ferritin levels too. So, it can be lack of vitamin E relative to how much PUFA, polyunsaturated fatty acids and vegetable oils. And again, the deficiencies of vitamin E relative to that excess of PUFA is a big deal as well. So definitely that connection, and estrogen excess definitely accelerates that sort of the binding of the PUFA and the iron, that interaction.
Hmm. And why does the birth control pill bring on or make melasma more worse and end pregnancy?
Well, birth control pill is just supplemental estrogen. So yeah, absolutely. And with, look, pregnancy, I've seen different women react to pregnancy differently. And I think it depends on the state you're in before you go into pregnancy, whether you're sort of an estrogen dominant woman, whether you're hypothyroid or not. So whether pregnancy affects them that way. I've seen some women that just feel better than they've ever felt in their lives during pregnancy. Perhaps they get that incredible progesterone surge you meant to get through pregnancy, and that just, you know, everything goes away. And then postpartum, they then feel perhaps crappy again. But during that progesterone surge of pregnancy, they feel wonderful. But some women don't get that surge. So I think it depends on what state they're in hormonally. But, yeah, I'd put it back on not enough progesterone surging and estrogen causing that, because ultimately estrogen generally darkens the skin or pigment, whereas progesterone lightens it. So when you're seeing these darkening patches come up, look at your exposure to estrogen, look at your cycle, and perhaps anything you can do to encourage progesterone, as well as, you know, perhaps supplemental progesterone. But that's why topically we found progesterone can do wonderful things with melasma and lipofuscin. And so too can caffeine, because it has a progestogenic effect too. So
consuming caffeine,
but also caffeine. Topically has been found on the skin tissue. Yeah. So we put loads of caffeine in our face cream. We can talk about later.
Yeah.
That has a lovely brightening, lightening effect, and it can sort of break that up a bit.
So what are the things that, okay, so the caffeine, we can talk about that when we get to your products. And what about things that, I know Ray Pete talks about this a lot, Georgie, also, what are the things that we can do to help move the PUFA out of our tissues?
Yeah, well, look, I don't think you want to encourage it to happen too quickly. You do want to give it time and happen in a natural rate so your liver can deal with it. And you don't re-experience the onslaught of that PUFA being dislodged from the tissue back into the bloodstream hitting the liver too hard, I think you've got to let it go slow and you have to give it time. But there's certainly protective things you can do. Niacinamide's really helpful, definitely. I mean, even whether we can talk about aspirin or not, but aspirin can be phenomenal. But even coming back to melasma, I've seen women totally clear up their melasma with high dose niacinamide powder, and topically as well as orally. But orally, you need several grams of it, and it can completely clear it for good.
Wow.
So yeah, orally and topically, definitely niacinamide. But yeah, I think it's all about just on a daily basis, just limiting as much as possible the polyunsaturated oils you're ingesting. You want to keep it right down to, I mean, you can't avoid it altogether, but keep it to an absolute minimum. And yeah, replace the fats in your diet, and focus in on the butter, the ghee, the coconut oil. The more saturated, the better.
Is there a topical ways or exogenous ways that we can pull PUFA out, like with infrared sauna or red light or castor packs or anything like that?
I don't know about physically pulling it out, but look, red light absolutely makes a huge difference. Topically, you want to know you've got a quality red light with the right spectrum. But that daily can be wonderful. And even look, if you did have too much sun exposure, and I'm all for sun exposure, but sometimes too that spectrum of rays, it can be worth getting some red light immediately afterwards if you're prone to, you know, either burning or melasma or sort of age spots getting worse with sun exposure. It's good to sort of buffer that with some red. Absolutely. But also just obviously considering the quality of fats you apply topically too, makes a big difference. And a portion of that is actually going to enter your bloodstream and also add to your PUFA load in your tissue. But they found the more saturated fat on the skin level encourages that production of cholesterol at the skin level as well. And high levels of cholesterol in the skin correlate with younger looking skin. Younger skin has naturally very high levels of cholesterol in it, whereas older skin, they found, is, you know, the older it is, the more devoid it is of cholesterol. So the saturated fats really encouraging that, definitely.
I was thinking, I had this theory that I mentioned to my friend yesterday, and I said, you know, okay, so you know how Dr. Rabeet says, you know, progesterone should be dissolved in vitamin E, and then, you know, then you can make your cream or you can make your oral or whatever it is. But if someone has a really high level of iron and PUFA in the tissues and in their gut, could that impede absorption? Could that be one of the reasons? Because I find, and now that I've been in this progesterone, bioidentical progesterone space for this long, and I just mean with my group, not so much with Ona's, just been a year with them. So I've only been working with the chemist there for a year and learning, you know, that end of the work. But prior to that, just watching anecdotally all of these women over the last 8 years in the group, and the different varying degrees of absorption where, you know, because Ona's makes 20%, because Ona had catamenial epilepsy. And so she developed multiple strengths so that women could have access to, you know, high doses. And, you know, and so I noticed that a lot of, like, I don't, I tried the 20%. I don't think I absorb it. I don't even think I absorb the 10%. And then, but I've talked to some progesterone experts that are like, that's probably not true. I think absorption. But then I talked to Carol Peterson, who's a pharmacist and expert in the area. And she's like, absolutely, thyroid can impede absorption. But then I was thinking, what about high PUFA, iron, estrogen in the tissues and in the gut? Because so many women have different issues with absorption, and it's pretty wild.
Absolutely. So when you say issues with absorption, you're specifically on transdermal, like on the skin?
Both, in fact. You know, when I take Progest-E, it has to be under extremely specific circumstances. I have to have food in my stomach. I can't feel it at all. I can't feel the calmness. I have to do it in a certain way. And just for the record, in the past, when I used to do all the cleanses and the liver flushes and whatnot, I would get violently ill when I would drink that amount of olive oil that the flush called for. And now I look back on it and think, am I just like my liver can't handle it? Cause it's displacing these PUFAs, and that's what was making me sick. And I speak from my own perspective, but I know so many women who, especially in the group, who have gone through the same. So yeah, transdermally, but also in the gut.
I think so when you do the Progest E, you literally swallow it down, do you?
I put it on my gums and then I can feel it go down my throat with that little
irritation. And then you still ingest a little bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, one of, I don't know if you've tried this trick, but have you tried it with used plastic wrap around your lower legs? So this is for real. So this is something
I love this.
Yeah, it's if you thin out the Progest E, or you could obviously try it with the owner's cream, definitely. You can either add a little coconut or olive oil on the skin first, so from the knee down to the ankle, and sort of, I don't know, prime the skin, and then it seems to absorb just a little bit better or thin out a little bit, and then rub a decent amount of Progest E or other progesterone creams all over that area, on both legs. And then just, we call it glad wrap, you cling wrap, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Wrapping that all around that portion of the legs and then leaving it there for half an hour or more. But I mean, it's a method that they use even in hospitals for certain, you know, meds transdermally, and they apply plastic tissue. But yeah, absorption is, you can just feel it. It's fascinating, the difference. And I wonder if sometimes certain creams, when we can put them on the skin, maybe they, I don't know, maybe they're not really going in, but you can imagine you've enclosed this area and it's getting a bit sort of damp and you're retaining heat. Nothing can dissipate from there. And yeah, I've with clients who've experienced things like that, and they've just said, oh, I just don't know if I'm feeling anything. And we've tried this method, and they always report back that they feel remarkable within perhaps half an hour. I know Bodhi had me doing a lot. That's the only way Ray recommended to her, for her to use her progesterone, and even for other fat-soluble vitamins and things.
I remember Danny Roddy doing this with like a vitamin K or something.
Yeah. So I remember Dodie suggesting that to me, and I was like, what? Oh my God, this is revelation. And I emailed Danny and said, have you heard this? He goes, no, let's do it.
Oh my goodness.
But at the time I had a toddler who just wanted to rip the plastic off my legs, and it wasn't going to work for me. Right. But I have at times done it, but generally when I put on my gums, I feel better for it, but definitely worth trying.
Okay, so let me just get this straight. So I would take, like in our case would be the Luna oil. So it's most similar to the Progest E. And so then I would put that, or even the cream, on the dose that I'm going to use. Let's say it's just 100 milligrams. Let's say, and put that on my leg before below the knee, and maybe like above the ankle, put it just on a spot, and then put some glad wrap around that area.
If you can like, even cover that region, you know, like
completely.
Look, you might want to like thin it out.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you could thin it out with a bit more olive oil or something.
I see.
Just to make it more slippery and really disperse it. Even better if it was after a hot shower or bath, when your pores are that much more open. Get it straight on, wrap it over, and just sit back, have a hot chocolate, and let it do its thing.
This is fascinating. Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Please report back. I'd love to hear the difference, because you've got, you know, access to your different kinds of products. Perhaps try it with different consistencies, a cream versus an oil, and see.
Yeah.
One works better than another.
Okay. Well, since we're on the topic of creams and such, let's talk about your saturé. Am I saying, how do you say it?
I think the French say saturé.
Saturé.
We'll say saturé. But obviously it's French for saturated, and all started, 3.5 years ago, maybe close to 4 years ago, when the other... Do you know Kitty Blomfield?
I mean, I know of her through Kate Deering. And so I've been following her and love her stuff. Absolutely have listened to her many times. And one of the first times I ever heard Ray Pete was on her show.
So she found me about, 8 years ago or so, maybe more, came to me as a client, and she was in the world of body sculpting and lifting and all of that. And mm-hmm. everything I suggested to her was, you know, flat in the face of what her trainer had suggested. But she was open-minded enough to give it all a try and felt fabulous for it. And then has since created, yeah, programs for women around the world, sort of group programs about how to lift correctly and how to eat correctly. And if you've ever seen her on Instagram, she's full of beans and she's exactly as she presents. She's amazing. she always said to me, you and me will work together one day. I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. And anyway, maybe, yeah, close to 4 years ago, we were chatting on some topic and she said something about noticing how so many of her clients would come to her and say, well, I've cleaned out all these ingredients from my pantry and I'm conscious now of the oils I cook with, but what about when I jump out of the shower and I slather, you know, Nivea body lotion all over my body? I see that it's full of safflower oil or something. That can't be good, can it? And we'd agree that's not good. But when asked what she'd recommend, she'd then come to me and say, what do you recommend for skincare? And I was always a bit fuzzy. I'm like, well, I could use a bit of this. And on my body, I'll just like dig out the coconut oil, but that gets a bit slippery sometimes and a bit hard in the winter. We just didn't have a clear answer. And she said she was, you know, thinking of perhaps trying to make some skincare, but didn't know where to start. And I said, oh, do you need some help? So the next day she signed us up with a formulator and we got formulating. But, you know, 3 years down the track, it took that long, and several formulators later who actually wanted to innovate with us because nobody wanted to attempt to make something with the usual rubbish that is in all products, like the stabilizers, the emulsifiers, the preservatives. There's 95% junk and, mm-hmm. you know, 2% good stuff if that. And we wanted to do it without any of the junk, like none of it. And mm-hmm. we're told over and over again, you can't do that. You have to have this. You know, it needs to be commercially viable and it needs to be profitable and all of this. And we weren't looking for that. We were looking to bring something better to the market. And so finally it was a very long battle, but we got something that came together and held together, and we're loving using it ourselves, and our clients tell us all sorts of wonderful stories about what they're finding from using it too. But basically the whole premise started by making it, we just want it to be devoid of PUFA mm-hmm. and to be completely saturated and stable, knowing that saturated fats are more stable to oxidation when it comes to exposure to heat, light, and oxygen, which is a topic that in the skincare realm, it's not widely talked about. They'll talk about all the active ingredients and if it's organic or clean or whatever label mm-hmm. they want to give it. But at the same time, it's loaded with polyunsaturated oils, which are completely unstable, and they're aging their skin. And that's, you know, a thing that perhaps we're ruffling feathers in the industry a little bit, but I think people need to know about it. And once yeah. people understand that and we re-educate them, that really makes sense to them, and, you know, the results are speaking for themselves. So we've just got four very simple products. Well, they're complex in that we've had to source really pretty remarkable ingredients that we were told we couldn't possibly access from that part of the world, or we couldn't possibly afford the minimums required, but we made it in the end. And I have a lot of guidance from Ray, which I'm forever grateful for. And he was very supportive and very encouraging of what we were doing. Georgie was awesome. He gave a heap of advice too. And his wife's enjoying it very much.
Oh, nice. So
it's been, just a big, long learning process at the same time. But we only did it because out of necessity, really. Like, it was just such an obvious gap in the market in such a massive, massive industry. Mm-hmm. But still, we couldn't find anything that we could 100% endorse and, yeah, recommend to our clients, knowing full well that that's all we'd use ourselves. So,
yeah,
it was like, oh, God, we have to do this. And, yeah, it right. was hopefully worth the effort. Yeah.
And so you brought back some ingredients you don't often see in products, but then you also brought back some like old fashioned ingredients, so to speak, that people just don't use anymore. And one of those is eugenol. Can you tell me what the heck eugenol is?
So it's a compound that comes from clove. It's also in cinnamon. I think it's in ginger. It's a naturally occurring compound. And we're first recommended to it by Ray when we were weighing up the options, because when you've got an oil water emulsion being, you know, so the moisturizer we were creating, we wanted that emulsion so we could get water solubles as well as fat solubles in there. Mm-hmm. As soon as you've got an emulsion, it's prone to, you know, fungal overgrowth and bacterial overgrowth. So you have to be cautious and you have to have some kind of preservative that's has these antifungal sort of qualities. But even the natural options on the market, I didn't like any of them terribly. I was a headache to work with for the formulators, everything they suggested. Like, and often they'll present as a single ingredient product, but they've got these other ingredients or they've got poofers in there. And anyway, going back and forth with Ray, he said, what about eugenol? Because it was used in the past, you know, it was always used in all sorts of products, but it fell out of favor because they found more profitable, you know, synthetic products that sort of had easier access for the industry as well. And yeah, it really comes down to profit.
Mm-hmm. So we had some preservative.
Well, it has natural antibacterial, antifungal, antimutagenic, anti-inflammatory, general antioxidant properties. And that coupled with a few other things we got in there, with the testing we've done, they've remained stable and we haven't had any fungal issues or anything. Hmm. And the other beautiful thing about eugenol is that it's actually, it's got other benefits directly to the skin. And they say that even though there's eugenol-like compounds in a lot of essential oils, you know, clove and cinnamon in particular, mm-hmm. but many essential oils have been found to be actually directly estrogenic, which is a bit concerning, and they're wow. quite crude too. Whereas eugenol has been found to not only not have estrogen qualities, but potentially anti-estrogen effects. Mm. And like what we just talked about with how estrogen at the skin level, you know, it you know, basically darkens the skin, it ages the skin, it's basically catabolizes tissue and collagen and everything. Mm-hmm. So to have those effects in the eugenol, it was like a win-win on every front. And it also, it gives off naturally a very subtle kind of clovey smell. And we have a lot of people mentioning that our face cream smells a bit like Christmas because it has this lovely, it's very subtle and it wasn't put there as a fragrance as such. You know, we didn't add fragrance as such. It just is just a quality of eugenol. It naturally has this very subtle scent, which is quite lovely anyway.
Nice. Yeah, because keeping things very natural means no fragrance, and usually and no fragrance can leave, can, you know, like Onus creams don't smell bad, but they definitely are, you know, there's like this sort of vacant smell to it. It's what I call it.
Oh yeah, that's a good word for it actually.
Yeah, and you know, it's no fun.
Well, this might be a good addition, might have other benefits too, but nice. Yeah, I'm seeing it pop up around a little bit more lately, but so it's working for our product. So that's
nice. And so what about caffeine? You were mentioning caffeine.
Yeah. So definitely when it comes to sort of the brightening effects, the anti-estrogen effects, it's relatively protective against sun damage. People talk about it helping reduce water retention in the tissue, that sort of puffiness. That's why they put caffeine in a lot of eye creams and things to kind of bring that puffiness down around the eyes. But yeah, just in general improves integrity of skin structurally as well. So, you know, people talk about its anti-aging effects, perhaps preventing wrinkles and that sort of thing, but it's
nice. Yeah.
You know, we all love coffee anyway, so it's nice to jam it on the skin as well.
Right. Nice. And then what about, do you have any of vitamins in your products at all, like vitamin C or anything, or any kind of other nutrients in them?
Yeah, we didn't do vitamin C as such. We have some plans down the track that might incorporate that in some way. I'll tell you about another day, but vitamin E definitely. We've
E
got
or
vitamin
A?
E.
Okay.
And we didn't go the vitamin A route just because people react very differently to different forms of retinol as well, and it can make more prone to damage with sun exposure, can make you more sun sensitive. So it's something that we would prefer you ingest your vitamin A than apply it topically necessarily. Eat your liver, or we created some freeze-dried liver for people who want to do it that way. But Yeah, the combination of ingredients we created have got a similar benefit, I suppose, of what retinol claims to do as well. And retinol can sort of irritate the skin too if it's not done correctly. So it's not for the face cream. We wanted to make it a very universal product. Mm-hmm. So everyone could use it, you know, mum, dad, kids, anyone. It's not going to be. Whereas if you start putting things like retinol in there, it starts to limit who could or should use it. And perhaps you wouldn't use it in the morning. You'd only use it in the evening.
Yeah.
And we want it to be an any time of day kind of product as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got other minerals and sorry.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
But the other things we really wanted to bring there were the copper, the CoQ10 being a ubiquinone. So it's one of the quinones, works similarly to vitamin K2. We've got neringenin and the other flavonoids, which was a really important one for us to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So extracted from citrus peel with all its anti-inflammatory effects. Niacinamide. Well, there's another vitamin right there, vitamin B3.
Mm-hmm.
Urea, which isn't something widely prized these days, but
yeah,
it's phenomenal for the skin because it's part of the natural moisturizing factor that's your skin generates itself. And it was used widely, you know, back in the day, but or you'll find some incredible products that can contain urea, but they don't use it as a selling point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it should be used more widely. And the cholesterol actually was probably our biggest win, and it was the top thing we wanted to get in there. And it was, so we talk about cholesterol, it's coming from the lanolin, which is from sheep's wool.
Uh-huh.
And it's extracted from that. But as I mentioned briefly before, that cholesterol levels decline rapidly with aging at the skin level.
Mm-hmm.
And applying it topically actually improves barrier function and how the skin cells function directly.
Wow.
So it was a tricky one to access. I think we had to get it from France, and it's a really expensive product.
Mm-hmm.
And we were told you don't want to do that because you're not going to have a profitable product. It's all mm-hmm. about profit in skincare market. It's all just right. What we learned about the markups generally is just blew my mind. It's just quite disgusting.
Wow.
So we foregoed having, you know, a big profit margin. We just mm-hmm. wanted to get really, really, really good stuff in it. And we managed to access the cholesterol.
Wow. So there's cholesterol in, okay. So we're talking about all the four products right now. They all have
cholesterol's in the face cream and the body cream. And then we've also got an oil cleanser and a lip balm.
Okay. And the, so lanolin, they also get D3 from lanolin as well, don't they?
Yeah, that's right.
So is that in would that be just part of the cholesterol, or is it, I don't know anything about.
Well, we have straight up lanolin in the lip balm.
Okay.
So that's part of that. But also too, it's that whole thing of when your fatty acids are better in your skin and your cholesterol levels are higher in your skin, you'll be more prone to producing the D3 better at the skin level.
Okay. Wow, that sounds fancy. I really want to try that.
Thanks.
Well, let's see. So just before we wrap up this part of everything, makeup. So do you have any plans on doing any sort of makeup?
Yes. Or,
oh, really?
That's we've been exciting. We've been formulating for quite a while. Yes, I think it will take a fair bit longer. Mm-hmm. It's trial and error. We're trying to use pigments that are derived from certain foods, cosmetic grade, but not the typical pigments, because all other makeup is based heavily in iron oxide. That's what gives the brown pigment.
Mm-hmm.
And with everything you know about iron and iron in the tissue, think about all the foundations and bronzers, that
oh my
golden
goodness.
Brownness. It's all just rust.
So here you are trying to remedy your, I'm going to say you, but you know I mean me.
Females out there.
Right. And put it like trying to deal with melasma and doing all the things. And then you take your foundation, which has a brown and olive pigment in it, and it has iron. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Absolutely. That's what makes it brown and glowy. So to do it without that, again, went back to our formulators and they rolled their eyes and went, oh, my God. But there are options, but we're really trying to do something completely different. So it's a very creative trial and error process to create the right combinations. We had some interesting experiments with, you know, a touch of a yellowness to buff some blueness, and there was a turmeric extract, I think. And I was testing out a sample and 5 minutes later, walked into the kitchen. My husband nearly fainted. You know, it all suddenly split and my face looked bright yellow. And he thought I got, you know, acute jaundice or something. So we had to scrap that batch. But yes, we're getting closer and closer every day. But something simple that provides, you know, a little bit of perhaps, you know, evens the skin tone a little bit and brings some color, but doesn't actually... Yeah, that's it. Contribute more junk into our skin tissue and our entire system, right. And actually support skin health, because again, you just realize how powerful marketing is. But there's so many products out there, they just push it, they're clean or organic. But sure, you can get organic anything, but it doesn't mean it's good for your skin.
Right. You were saying, and then we, you know, like perfumes, like people think they're, oh, if I just spray it on my top instead of my skin. But, you know, if you can smell it, that means that it's entered into your system. And then you were mentioning, if you get into the shower, you have some body creams on or whatever, and then you get into the shower and the hot water and the steams open up your pores, and then it just gets sucked into the bloodstream.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we do have to be cautious of everything. I mean, look, and I think there's some things that if you have good health, and sure, you can dabble in a bit of this and that and have some fun, but when it's the everyday stuff and you feel like your health is already compromised, then it can't be helping.
Well, it makes me think about the carrot salad again, because the carrot salad, if you just have carrot salad once or twice a week, it's not going to make a huge impact on your health. And if you put on some foundation and some blush and some mascara a few times a week, whatever, no big deal. But if you do it every day, if you eat the carrot salad every day, you're going to see positive impact on your health. If you
can only get better.
Right. Yeah. If you put foundation on every day, no matter how organic it is, that's something you're doing. You're ingesting it every day. And we don't think about it like that. No, that's great.
I think in the skin industry, it's almost an unwritten rule. They almost give you this perception of the skin being this impermeable barrier, this toughened outer that you can just paint and slap things on and it's okay. But you know, if you can look on my website, I've done a few interesting interviews with Georgie on this topic actually, and just there are studies showing, you know, within 20-30 minutes of applying certain things topically, you know, sunscreens actually in particular, and what shows up in the bloodstream is pretty scary. So we have to be cautious of that. And then even more so, think of our little precious babies and small children with really tender young skin. You know, it's not toughened with age. What we rub onto their skin after their baths is, it's getting sucked straight in. We've got to be extra careful. And having looked at what's in, you know, even baby lotions, like the organic baby lotions, there's some really, really scary stuff in there. So I'd rather they, you know, and I designed our body cream to be safe and perfect for my own babies. And I, you know, have a tube by their bath and they walk past it and slap it on. And look, they shouldn't even need much because their skin's so perfect. It's generating its own oils and natural moisturizing factors. But yeah, if you've had a sort of an overly long hot bath that might have stripped you that much more, or a long day at the beach, or been in the pool for hours, then, and if skin barrier feels a little compromised, then it's nice to, you know, bring the fats back on there.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's a whole other thing, that one of those things we just do every day, we just don't think about. And it's kind of like when your hormones are compromised and you're dealing with this, you know, thyroid things and liver things, you know, the all those things you're doing every day matter. And if we can make a change in those things we do consistently, like I always say to people, look, don't go in and dump your whole fridge and cupboards and everything out. Just do look at the thing. You use chapstick every day. How about that? Let's start there. You use hair conditioner every day, you know, like let's start with the things that you're doing consistently instead of worrying about, I don't know, the bleach in the laundry that you use once a week or whatever. Let's start with those other things that you're doing consistently. That's great.
And that's the other thing. I mean, by far the worst culprit to our health and longevity is stress, is cortisol. Mm. And you don't want to go too far the other way and suddenly freak out and don't touch a thing and don't go out of the house and don't eat it. Like all those things, the stress is going to do more damage perhaps than the products. So, you know, find that happy medium and then just, you know, pat yourself on the back when you make a good change, a positive change. And in comparison to this time, perhaps a year ago, go, well, at least I'm that much better off and avoiding those things that much more. They're all, you know, positive steps forward, but yeah, not to overstress at the same time, but definitely being aware, I think, is important. And this is what, with a lot of these topics, that awareness just wasn't there. And we're teaching people about, you know, the importance of PUFAs, whether it be in their diet or in their topical products, that they had no idea about. It wasn't in their realm of thinking when it came to healthy choices.
Yeah.
And once they find out, it's just this, their eyes light up and kind of go, that makes so much sense. Perhaps it's the missing piece of the puzzle of all these other things they've been diligently avoiding. But in the meantime, these oils have just been coming at them. And definitely can make a difference sort of hormonally in regards to overall metabolism and thyroid. Yeah, really big time.
Yeah. Well, on that note, that was so good. There's so much that you presented us with, and I'm so excited for your Saturé.
Saturé. Oh, you say it beautifully. Oh, thank you. No, I really appreciate it. It's just been a little passion project, but nice to see it, you know, getting out there and helping people.
So you have to go into the show notes and you have to click on the link that I posted in there. She mentions that she had written an article, a blog, and was speaking with Georgie Dinkoff, and this blog talks about that, but that she had a sort of breakdown, like a visual outline about skin health and where acne might come from, the different places and areas that acne might be triggered by. And it's super cool. It's really interesting. So please go into the show notes and check that out. And I just want to do the big reveal here. I get a lot of stuff sent to me, right? Lots of wonderful things from people. And I just got this hair mask sent to me by Hair Therapy just a few weeks ago, a month ago or so. It was amazing. It has like essential oils in it and it's all natural and it's wonderful. And it's so good if you have dry hair or you have damaged hair. It was amazing, but that's not what I was going to talk about. I get a lot of stuff sent to me. Most of it is garbage, right? But I am trying the Saturé product line and I am in love. Okay, now this is slightly a conflict if you think about it, because, you know, Ona's is all skin-based, skin stuff, topical products. But there's no conflict here, friends. Let me tell you. First of all, I combined their face, the Saturé's face cream with the Luna Pro 5, which is the 5% progesterone. And I'm telling you right now, it is so wonderful. It is the silkiest, most beautifully feeling. It feels that way anyway. Like you don't need to add the Luna Pro 5 to it. Just on its own, the product is so gorgeous. All of this stuff feels so elegant and so rich. I definitely think that it will last you a really, really long time because you barely need any. So when you use it, you know, you're like this tiny little drop just covers like all your hands, you know, or the lip stuff. Let me tell you, the lip balm is amazing. And you put that on, you barely, I don't know, that tube's going to last me a year. That tube is so, I mean, it's not huge, but it's a good size, but you barely need like a drop of the lip stuff for lip balm. And that's great. That's a great value. So think about that when you're shopping and use a coupon code. They gave us a little coupon code for the listeners. Skin Love, right? That's the whole coupon code, Skin Love. And the Saturé link is in the show notes. So let me tell you what I love. There's a body cream that's really nice. And it's like old-fashioned tubes from like, I don't know, the 1950s. Like old-fashioned like toothpaste tubes. They're like amazing. It's just the whole line. There's such elegance and class to it. I am very impressed. And I rarely talk about skin stuff or makeup or anything like that. It's just not my jam. But this stuff is pretty epic. I'm really excited for them. Let me tell you what else they sent me. They sent me, the women of Saturé sent me the oyster capsules. It's basically capsules that is pure oyster meat. So if you're not an oyster fan and you know how important oysters are in your life and in your diet, you have got to try these. You do get a little oyster burp, I'm not going to lie. I don't mind it, but I'm sure some people won't like that. But they're fantastic. They are extremely nutrient dense. So if you guys are having a hard time getting these foods that she mentions, these pro-metabolic, generative energy, little wink to Danny Roddy there, generative energy foods. These foods help you generate energy is the bottom line. And if you aren't getting them, if you can't sit down to a can of smoked oysters or go out for a dozen oysters, the next best thing is to supplement because they're that important. Okay. And then one other thing that they sent me, they were so generous. They really were so generous. I also got to try the well-aged cascara. So it's called Italian Cascara Sagrada, which is an herb, and it's USP sourced from farm labor, best quality available, well-aged. Cascara is not properly aged. If it's not properly aged, it's irritating and lacks key benefits. So check this out. It says naturally rich in Imodin, the active ingredient in cascara. So you might hear Constantine, Georgie Dinkoff, Ray Pete talk about Imodin. I have not really had major issues going to the bathroom, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to try this well-aged cascara anyway and just see what the benefits are. And I was expecting, you know, when you take like Smooth Move tea or you take like, you know, any kind of laxative type of herb, how you can feel it going through you and it loosens your bowels, basically loosens your stool. And I really don't like taking those things because I just feel like that's just not great. And so I was kind of anticipating that with this stuff. And it was incredible. Okay, TMI. So for those of you that don't like poopy talk, maybe you should end now. But it was great because it felt like it had kind of sped up motility, so moved my bowels more, so I went a little more than I normally do, and it bulked up my stool, which I thought was really cool and interesting also. Like what you hope that fiber is going to do, right? What you hope that taking like Mucinex, those fiber products like, you know, psyllium husk and stuff like that. It's kind of like what you hope that's going to do. And that was a really great shot. I was surprised. So, but listen to this description here. Slowed bowel transit time leads to increased estrogen levels, accelerated aging, and is detrimental to overall health. A high quality cascara, along with the antiseptic and indigestible fiber such as raw carrot, bamboo shoots, or well-cooked mushrooms, helps to improve bowel transit time and encourage complete and regular emptying of the bowels. This is not only a benefit of cascara. Imodin, the active ingredient, has been demonstrated to possess multiple biological activities, including being antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, and antiviral. It is also a potent, selective, 11BHSD1 inhibitor. I don't know if I said that right. The enzyme responsible for the synthesis of cortisol. Hello. I'll say that again. The enzyme responsible for the synthesis of cortisol, which is closely associated with the development of metabolic disorders, including insulin resistance, central obesity, and hyperglycemia. Guys, that I'm reading this whole thing to you because so many women suffer, and men, with insulin resistance. You get up into your perimenopausal years, your metabolism starts to slow down a little, your thyroid gets a little sluggish, you start noticing everything gets a little slower, right? Except cortisol and your heart rate and your, you know, your nerves and your anxiety. Those are the things that stay high. Well, this is an incredible product. I was not expecting to receive it. I was not expecting to love it. I love this product. It's amazing. So I just wanted to make sure you knew that. But just in general, all of their supplements look really, really good. And apparently, Dr. Ray Peet, before his passing, God rest his beautiful soul, he gave the thumbs up to Emma and Kitty in regards to their products. So I think if it's good enough for Ray, it is good enough for me. And so I want to just encourage you to check out the Saturday line, use the Skin Love coupon code, and check out the show notes because Emma's information is there. She is hireable, even though she is in Australia. You can do Zoom conferences with her. She's really great with clients. She has puts them on a few months at a time programs. It's just definitely just another option, guys. Like, I think it's worth it. It's worth every penny you spend in your health when you work with somebody like that who knows what they're doing, who've been around for ages, who have repetitive results, repetitive success stories. Like, she knows all about thyroid, all about progesterone, all about all of it. So consider her as a practitioner. All right, friends. So as usual, please, by the way, I should say, I ran a campaign for Ona's recently. It was, it's still going right now, actually. It's like a 6-week campaign that I was running to introduce Ona's people who didn't know me through my group, who don't know me through the group. I introduced the Ona's customers to me, and also just letting everybody know that I am starting a more consistent newsletter. So if you have not signed up for that newsletter, if you signed up for Healthy Gut Girl newsletter, you should be getting those. So if you haven't gotten any, make sure you check your promotional box. But if you would like, if you're interested in getting them, go into us.onasnatural.com and you can sign up on that homepage for the newsletter. Right now, we're sending like 2 emails a week. That's not going to continue to happen. So don't worry. Do not worry. What we're trying to do is make sure we know who our people are. You know, make sure we know who wants this information. So we're giving people the opportunity to unsubscribe. And those of you who aren't unsubscribing, we know you're our peeps. And I'm going to start sending out information about hormonal guidance, hormonal, you know, BHRT, progesterone guidance, information about, you know, resources in terms of studies. Just everything is going to start coming out in these newsletters. They won't be too long. And if I have coupons for you, if there's specials on the products, if there's a new product coming out, and if I have special things like this, you know, with Emma and her product, if I have that to share, all kinds of stuff. And then it's going to be like 2 emails a month and not like 2 emails a week. So sorry if you're feeling bombarded, just hang in there with us. Okay. And I'm excited to just start to really funnel all this information that we've been, you know, getting sent our way and funnel it out to Ona's clients and to Healthy Gut Girl and to the clients and to the Estrogen Dominance group. Okay, kids. All right, friends. Well, thanks for joining. And use that Skin Love and get yourself some Satulé.
Saturé by Emma and Kitty.